come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison, Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Knockout Radio coming to you live from the bunker, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. What an action-packed show scheduled. Charles Rosa and Tanner Bowser, both fighting this weekend, will be on. Cindy Dandawa will also be on. A big fight for her against Kayla Harrison. Both of last night's Ultimate Fighter representatives from Team Alex and Team T-City, T-Brian, Dustin Lampros and Vince Murdoch, as well as Luis Palomino, who defends his title this weekend down at BKFC. And we are bringing back, if for no other reason than this week only, another episode of Queer Eye for the Sports Guy with Mick, as we will discuss with Mick and our own tool, Matt, the Carl Nassib information yesterday. So first and foremost, Matthew, where are you?
I am in Gull Lake, Michigan.
Well, what's and where other than, I shouldn't say where's Gull, Michigan, because you're going to say in the state of Michigan. So give me a little, where is that?
If you're familiar with Kalamazoo, it's about 15 minutes from Kalamazoo. It's about 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids, Michigan. So just sitting nicely on a lake, and it's just been divine.
This is the longest since you left on the trip roughly 3 weeks ago that you've been in one place this long, correct?
This is correct, yes. We've been here since last Wednesday. We got here. We left Milwaukee. And it's funny because when we left Milwaukee, we stopped by Duke Rufus's, MMA gym. And, it's a fight city. You got the Pettis brothers out of there, and you've got the Woodleys and all that. And then you come to a place like this, and there's like complete opposite, but it's funny how Miami is starting to become known as a fight town with the BKFC landing there this weekend coming up, and all these, TikTok fights. And so it's funny how, like, going from city to city, you really pick up a vibe for, like, which communities support the MMA and combat sport that we love so much.
Well, then I'm disappointed. I was looking forward to going down to Miami thinking it was a food city, not a fighting city.
I mean, how can you not say it's a fighting city? I mean, look, they're getting the Logan Paul fight was down there with Mayweather. You've had the BKFC. I mean, it's starting to become like a fight city. Well, I mean, Vegas, Atlantic City were the two.
You can say any of those cities are fight cities, but we all know Las Vegas is and always will be fight city for many reasons, going back in the day and then over the past 10, 12, 15 years, 25 years with the UFC, who returns again this weekend, another fight night, UFC fight night, on the card. And we're going to talk a little bit about one of my favorite cities as well with our first guest of the afternoon, and that's Charles Rosa. Charles, how are you?
Hey, great, man. Just got back from the UFC Performance Institute. Did some clothing fitting, but ready to go, man. Ready for Saturday night.
Talk to us about Fight Week. I know it's just the beginning. Wednesday's typically the day that you get in. You sign the posters. You get acclimated, all that kind of stuff. Has it changed a Fight Week from Fight 1 to this particular fight?
You mean like completely in the UFC or just during coronavirus? Because during coronavirus, like, everything's been different. We've been in a bubble. Everything's been more confined. But is that what you're saying, from coronavirus start or the start of, like, the UFC?
Yeah, I mean, we can, both. I mean, in general, yeah. The first fight week, whether it's in amateurs or in a smaller organization, then you get to the UFC, and obviously things are a lot different.
Besides the corona, obviously, everything is pretty much, like, as far as the schedule is the same. I mean, I feel like there used to be a lot more interviews, like, in different places. Like, when I fought in Boston, they take you to, like, a cool venue. You do, like, open workouts in front of, like, a crowd and stuff like that. So it's a little bit more dimmed down, I think, because of coronavirus and all this stuff. But I think this is the end of it. So I think things will get back to normal probably the next two shows.
Well, all we can do is hope on that. I've always broadcasted the Wednesday show live from the media room. So these interviews that obviously we've had to do over the last year and a half by phone, I would be in the media room. We would be doing this face-to-face. So, and it's taken a lot to get used to it doing it this way.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like I said, it used to be more like person-on-person stuff, but now they've eliminated like a lot of guests and visitors and people coming in. Like, you know, even like celebrities and cool people, like we don't really get to see them anymore because they're just kind of, they keep them out of here, keep everyone supposedly safe or whatever.
We're, what, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, about 3.5 days away from the fight. Are you a type of athlete that you want to dwell Saturday night, count the minutes down, you know, like Rocky Balboa with Clubber Lang's photo on the mirror? Or do you kind of try to, like, not think about it, just kind of relax and treat Wednesday as Wednesday and Thursday as Thursday?
Yeah, I do a little of both. I mean, I've gotten better over time with it, you know, being a veteran. This is my 10th UFC fight, so, and I just, yeah, man, I kind of get it down to a science, and it's pretty pretty routine now. You know, this is my third time fighting in Vegas in a row, fighting at this hotel. Like, so I kind of got everything down. I keep, like, a notebook of all my stuff, of exactly how much I wake up for weight and, like, what I eat and, you know, my interviews and, like, everything's pretty the same. So I got a pretty strict schedule I follow. And, man, you know, you always think about the fight as a fighter. You know, you think about, well, what's the other guy doing? What's he doing? But at the end of the day, man, they ain't going to change. Saturday night we get locked in the cage together and only one of us comes out with a W.
No matter what you do, Saturday's coming, right?
Yeah, that's it, man. You know, I mean, but I love this. This is what I love to do. So, I mean, I signed up for this and this is my job.
You know, Matt kind of threw out there, and I know he's going to have a question for you in a second, you know, about fight cities, and he brought up Miami, and, you know, he was just in Milwaukee, and you're in the fight capital of the world, and that's Las Vegas. But let's be honest, yeah. Boston is kind of a fight city as well.
Yeah, man, tough place. And the toughest people come from Boston, man. You know, we always get scrappy sports teams like the Boston Bruins, and yeah, man, there's definitely a history of it. You know, I think, you know, growing up in Boston, where I grew up in Peabody, Massachusetts, like, you know, I always grew up, you know, fighting, like, you know, I played hockey my whole life, played sports, you know, and stuff. I was a triathlete, and man, with kids in the suburban and the city areas, they're tough, man. They always want to throw down. So after almost every game or every practice, there'd be some type of fight. We'd do locker boxing in the locker room after practice, or after, you know, we play another city, we go against Southie or South Boston, or if we go against East Boston, Eastie, we always get in a fight with someone. There'd always be somebody that wants to start a fight after the game. So, I mean, I grew up fighting, you know, all the kids in the suburban area.
True story. I was stationed in Boston late 70s, early 80s. I wasn't in Boston. I don't even think it was a day. And I was on the train or tram. I forget what it was called up there. What's it called up there? The train, the subway,
Metro.
The Metro. Okay. So my ship was docked at Maverick Station. So we would get off on Maverick Station. I got off. This is the first time I was on a train, and there's a fight in the street, and a guy whips out a switchblade, and he yells, "I should cut your effing throat. I'm going to take your ear instead," and slice the guy's ear off.
Oh, damn. So, yeah, you got a real taste of it, man. I mean, I've been through tough situations. The first time I ever went through Dorchester, I got shot at, like, wasn't even doing anything. Just freaking gunshots going off the car. I'm like, what the hell? So, you know, I don't know what the reason was, but it is what it is. You know, it's just, so some spots are tough, and then, you know, it's cleaned up a lot. So it's a beautiful city, and it's really cleaned up a lot now.
What logoed either shirt or hat do you wear more, a UFC or a Boston sports team?
Damn, it's 50-50 right now. I think right now, especially, you know, I always rock in a Patriots, Bruins, Celtics hat. But, you know, this week I got a UFC hat on. So I'm actually rocking a Boston Bruins shirt right now. So I got that on, but yeah, it's still 50-50. I got UFC sandals on and a Boston Bruins t-shirt, so that's it, 50-50.
All right, Charles. So Charles, I know this is a combat sports show, but let's be honest. Randy's all about the food, and I know you graduated with a culinary degree. So if you weren't doing fighting for a living, like, what kind of restaurant or cuisine could you cook, Randy, and would it go into his Hall of Fame list?
Yeah, definitely, man. I mean, while I was still fighting in the UFC, I mean, since Corona hit and stuff, I changed things a lot. But for about 3 or 4 years into my UFC career, I was still working as a chef at a restaurant. So I had two jobs. I was a chef and a fighter. I work at a restaurant called 432. It's a, you know, five-star steakhouse in Delray Beach, Florida. Amazing stuff. Like, so, you know, I learned the ins and outs of that. It's kind of, I don't know, I guess if you never had, like, if you ever had, like, a Capital Grill, it's pretty much, like, a similar to that. Really good steaks and stuff like that. But, man, I just love all types of food. I grew up in a large Italian family, so I always grew up, you know, rolling meatballs and things like that. So I come, you know, I love cooking Italian. So if I had to cook you a meal, I think it would probably be an Italian. I think that would be the most comfortable, but I can pretty much make anything. I went to Johnson & Wales Culinary School and graduated with a degree, so they pretty much showed me the basics of everything, but I definitely like cooking Italian the best.
You know, we're organizing this trip to go down to Colombia for Accelerator to do some stem cell therapy. And I'm taking a bunch of UFC legends and some other athletes. But I think we need to take you for more than one reason. And, of course, one would be to feed us or help feed us. But two, dude, so you can go down and get some stem cell.
Dude, I'm definitely down to go to Colombia. If you ever, I don't know when you guys are going, but hit me up, man. I'll come on the trip. I'll tag along. We'll, you know, we can find, get some good food. And heard Colombia get some good spots. So I'd definitely be down.
I told the organizer that the reason they're bringing me is so that when the cartel pulls us over, they're going to kill me to show you guys what could happen if you don't do what they tell you to.
Yeah, that actually happens. I went to Bolivia, bro. They pulled us over and accused the kid of drunk driving, like that we're driving with, and he wasn't even drunk. And they said they were going to lock him up, and then like and then they told us to drive down a back alley. And I'm like, dude, are these guys going to kill us? Like, they were police, like actual police of Bolivia. And the kid in the car was like, hey, just hide your money. So we put it in our sock, and they pull down the back alley. We have friggin' machine guns on them. They come out of the car, or whatever, AKs or whatever. And we step out, and they're like, guess how much money they asked us for? I think they were going to take all of our money.
$20.
Yeah, $10. They asked for $10. I was like, dude, all this? You did all this? I would have just gave you $10. Like, we didn't have to go through this whole thing where you step out of the car and get guns pointed at us. It was crazy. And then they drove off, took the $10, and that was it. And like, I was like, damn, that was pretty ridiculous. But
a very similar incident happened with us, the UFC down in Rio. So I know you'll run across Dr. Davidson at some point in the next couple of days. Ask him about that trip. We won't go through it again on the radio, but ask Dr. D about it, because it was him, Chris Lee, one of the referees, myself, and a former UFC's fighter's brother. So the same thing. They said that we were buying drugs.
And you're like, we're not, but what the...
like, right. Exactly. Well, right around the corner, you're back in the octagon, the door's going to shut. What are your thoughts on your opponent?
Yeah, I'm going against a tough Justin James. You know, I know he has a wrestling background. He got some good power in his hands. He came into the UFC with a performance night knockout. So I think he definitely, you know, had his best success, you know, kind of going for broke. So, you know, I think he's going to come forward. He's gonna throw the kitchen sink at me. But, man, I mean, I've been in this game a long time. I've fought the best guys on the planet. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I had a split decision loss to Yair Rodriguez. He's number one or two in the world now. That a fight I thought I won, if you go back and watch it. And, yeah, man, I know where I belong, where my skills are at. So this guy's, you know, he's a guy that's trying to keep his job in the UFC. You know, he got three or four UFC fights. He's trying to keep his jaw, hang on. He's on a couple fight losing streak, and I'm going to continue that for him. And, you know, he'll probably have to find somewhere else to fight after this.
How much do you even concentrate on who your opponent is, what your opponent does? Or isn't it really what you're going to do to the opponent, not what he can or what he will do?
Yeah, I think the first thing you do is you look at what the guy's main style is. But I've had three or four fights in my UFC career that the guy switches last minute. So I'm always expected that the opponent could change in 2 days' notice. He could change in 3 days' notice. So it doesn't like matter much. I focus on myself, what I'm going to do. And, you know, I work on the holes. Maybe if I had a fight that, you know, I have thought, saw some weaknesses or things that I kind of could tighten up on, that's what we did. You know what I'm saying? So I've been doing a lot of wrestling this fight and stuff like that. So I'm excited to see what this kid brings, and I can't wait to whoop his ass on Saturday night.
What's the funniest, strangest, craziest thing that's ever happened either to you or with you, involving you, in the middle of a fight?
I think during the middle of the fight, I don't think there's been too much. I think when I was fighting Bryce Mitchell, he was just like kind of holding me down. He had me in like a position, and I like couldn't get up. I was like, "Yo, stand up, you know, stand up." And he's like, "He just, I don't know, I just kind of like talking shit." Like, I don't say much during a fight, but he's just kind of talking. But it wasn't really anything too crazy that's happened during the fights. I mean, I kind of just going to, you know, get in the zone, and I'm pretty much locked in load on my opponent, ready to go, and I just, you know, just fighting to the end. But actually, I would say now that you say it, I just thought of something. When I was in Mexico City and I fought Yair Rodriguez, it wasn't actually in the fight, but it was the walkout to the fight. So all the Mexican fans, they started pouring beer on me. So by the time I got in the octagon, I was covered in beer, completely covered in beer. My first UFC, my third UFC fight against Yair Rodriguez in Mexico City.
Well, at least they would make it a little slippery there in the octagon, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I was just so pissed, man. I was like, I'm gonna kill this fucking kid. Like, they got the fans just yelling at me in Spanish, didn't know what they're saying. I had the American flag walking out with it. And, you know, I did. I thought I beat him, but it is what it is. You know, I'm sure they're not going to give me the split decision in Mexico, but it's what it is. You know, hopefully you can get that one back one day on home turf.
And just to clarify, if anybody, everybody that's listening, he said trucking. You know, we were talking about a trucking company. That's what he said a couple times. Just to clarify. What can the fans expect to see, Charles, when you get back in the octagon?
Man, you're going to see the best version of myself, man. I've been training really hard for this fight, working with world-class, like, you know, I brought in a bunch of, you know, D1 wrestlers and stuff like that. But, man, you're going to see someone that's hungry. You're going to see someone looking for the finish. I'm looking to pick up my 10th first-round finish. I have 9 first-round finishes, man, and I'm going for the kill. The second the fight starts, the second it ends, I'm going for the kill. So that's what you can expect. And if the kid's tough enough to survive, that's on him. But if not, then, you know, he'll be sleeping before the end of it.
Awesome. Charles, thank you very much for your time. Best of luck. Have fun on Saturday. I know that we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as a pair of earbuds from Jabral Electronics.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it, man. I appreciate you guys.
And I will get in contact with you if you want to come down when we go down. I think we're looking at going to Columbia early to mid-August.
Yeah, you got my number, man. Send me a message. And I got IG, too, so find me on there and send me a message on there, because it's always easier to stay in touch on there, too. But send me a text with your number, and let me know. You know, keep me updated.
Oh, absolutely. I'll do it. Thank you very much. Best of luck. Have fun on Saturday.
Thanks, man.
Bye. That is Charles Rosa. Boston Strong. I love talking Boston stuff, Matt. You know, that's where I met my wife. That's, you know, where I started my military. And I meant to ask him if they're still doing construction on that damn tunnel, because I believe it's going into its 51st year of construction.
Well, I'll let you know, because I'll be there next week when I roll through Boston for my first time.
Boston is awesome. I'll give you some updates, not only when you return, but when we return, as this is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I'm Ben Roethlisberger. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Jabra Elite 85T True Wireless Earbuds have been engineered with the most cutting-edge noise cancellation technology on the market to give you complete control over how you hear the world around you. It's time to level up the way you block out the world. Go to Jabra.com for more details on these and other great Jabra products and pick up a pair today.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park or call them at 727-290-9873.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Boomer Esiason, and you're listening to Talkin' Sports with Randy Harris. So stay right there.
All right, we are back coming to you. Show one of two this week, a very special bonus show tomorrow. We'll be on live from 1 to 3. I'm headed down to Fort Lauderdale from the, I think it's called the Heavyweight Factory, which is located right across the street from the Hard Rock. They will be doing a press conference and open workout, I think, is tomorrow, as well as we will be live. BKFC's podcast will be doing their show. So it should be a lot of fun. And what we used to do just 2 years ago.
Yeah, be around people and live audiences and a packed arena.
Yeah, it'll definitely be cool. I am definitely 100% looking forward to it. I don't want to talk too much about Carl Nassib until Mick comes on next hour. But I do want to touch base, and I'm going to say to you what I'm going to say to everybody else, what I'm going to say to Mick Ferrari. It's a shame that this is even a story. I know it's a story, and we know why it's a story, and it's come
Why is it a story, though?
It's a story because, and that's what we're going to address with Mick. Okay. And because the world has changed so much, Carl, and I haven't spoken to him since he left Tampa Bay, you know, is comfortable enough to come out and discuss about his lifestyle now, where look what happened to Sams when he was the number one draft pick of the Rams. I'm not saying that he was a number one draft pick, that he was deserving of a number one draft pick, who knows? But it was a different world back then. And
it was.
What I'm saying is it's a shame that it was a different world back then. I don't care. And I stole it from somebody else, but their post was, if you're against gay marriage, just turn it down when a gay man proposes to you.
That's true. Yeah, you can always say no.
Exactly.
You don't have to accept. You don't have to accept.
You know,
again, I guess my only problem with the story is he's not the first to be gay or openly gay in a locker room. You know, I don't know why he's getting touted to being the first in this like monumental.
Well, no. Well, who's the first? He is the first.
There's been others in the past that have come out.
But maybe
they came out after their playing career.
Exactly.
But yeah, so.
He is the first active NFL football player to come out. And 3 years ago, I mean, we know that it was a different world. We know that people would have been uncomfortable. There's guys, whether they would admit it or not, and I don't know which guys because I've never discussed it, but would have weird feelings or whatever, but that's on them.
Right.
It's not on Carl. I'm not gay and I'm not comfortable around naked men. You know? I mean, that's nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with that. So
I wonder how it would be perceived in the UFC world or in a combat sport world where, you know, it's grappling and it's physical touch. Like if someone came out openly, you know, like let's say a UFC champion or someone at the top of the food chain, you know, came out with a big name and announced, if it would be different than, you know, a football like sport.
But there has been at least one fighter that did gay porn. Now, I think I saw somebody wear a shirt that said $5 is $5. and there was a great big, you know, disturbance, you know, about that. So, again, it's just a different world. And you're right. With the physical contact, I'm sure people would still, you know, be uncomfortable with it. I wouldn't. You know, if you're grappling, if you go to a gym and you're grappling with a guy who's straight, how is that any different than grappling with a guy who's not? It's not like he's interested in you.
Well, I think if you go back to Israel Adesanya versus Costa, you know, he humped him at the end of the fight. So I think it is concerning if you lose position and you get mounted and dominated and the guy does like you, I think you're in trouble.
Let's be real honest. If the guy mounts you and he doesn't like you, you're in trouble because you've now been mounted and you're going to get the crap beat out of you most likely. You know, and I've always told that story about Matt Hughes over in London, how Sean and I, we were training with the team and everybody was in there, and Jens Pulver was in there, and Pat Miletich was in there, and Jeremy Horn was in there, Matt was in there, and Sean and I were grappling around. I got a little aggressive. So Matt goes, okay, now you and me. I go, you and me what? You and me, let's go. And he mounted me, and everybody laughs because Matt mounted me. And for 5 minutes, I had this dude, arguably the greatest welterweight of all time at the time and possibly still, but we could discuss that, mounted me. And I'm like, all right, I guess I'm going to lay here for 5 minutes. I don't know what you want me to do.
You couldn't get up? There was nothing you could do?
Well, there's nothing other UFC fighters could do when Matt mounted him. What am I going to do? Beg him for another steak? You know, we went out to dinner. And I don't remember what night it was. And we went to a steakhouse. It was basically an American steakhouse in London eating steaks. Like, we didn't go get anything English. We're eating steaks. So Carlos Newton is in the restaurant as well, which is who Matt was fighting, who Matt defeated in the fight number one for the belt. And so Matt sends a shot over to Carlos. Now Carlos is probably feeling, I mean, we're not really close to each other. But, you know, like, do I do it? What do I do? So Carlos drinks it, and then Matt goes, oh, crap. If he sends one back, I have to drink it now.
Huh.
You know, and you're like 2 days out from weigh-ins.
Right.
So, you know, when you're walking around so much over what the weigh-in weight is, you know, every senseless calorie that you put in your body 2 days before is senseless.
That's true. Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks for your input.
I think it's crazy that you guys would eat at an American restaurant while you're in London. Like, you shouldn't you take in the flair of the city? I mean, you're the ultimate foodie, Randy Harris. You should be out eating chips and whatever they eat in London.
Whatever they eat. Okay, well, thanks for calling that in. Whatever they eat.
I don't know what they eat. Oh, wafers, like crumpets. I don't know. What do you eat in London? Drink tea?
Well, I didn't drink tea. I really don't remember. You know, I remember sodas were like $8 a bottle or something like that. So, let's go hit the bottom of the hour break. When we come back, we'll head back out to Las Vegas, try to get a hold of Tanner Boser, taking on OSP co-main event Saturday night, UFC Fight Night. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
Drifting, this rock got to roll. So I hit the road and made my getaway.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Cozy Coleman, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Jabra Elite 85T True Wireless Earbuds have been engineered with the most cutting-edge noise cancellation technology on the market to give you complete control over how you hear the world around you. It's time to level up the way you block out the world. Go to Jabra.com for more details on these and other great Jabra products and pick up a pair today.
Country Depot, located at 36 North Broad Street in historic downtown Brooksville, could be the coolest store on planet Earth. From home and garden decor, handbags, and sports items, Country Depot carries a very large variety of unique gifts like nautical, primitive, country, and much more. Follow them on Facebook at Country Depot and stay tuned to Knockout Radio for details on how to register to win a $50 gift certificate. It's called Country Depot in Brooksville and worth the drive.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Tony Hawk, and you're talking sports with Randy.
All right, we are back coming to you live in the bunker. Matt, where are you again? Somewhere in Michigan?
I'm in Gull Lake, Michigan. It's beautiful up here.
We're going to talk a lot of fights over the next two segments. We're going to go to our guest here in about 4 seconds. After we talk to Tanner, we're going to talk about the fights you can expect to see tonight on the ice if the Bolts are winning going into the third. There are going to be some incredible fights, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Let's welcome back to the program. It's been, I think you youngins like to say, a minute since Tanner Bozer has been on. Tanner, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
Not too bad. We appreciate your time. I know that it's day one fight week. You've probably just got in probably yesterday, I would assume. Is it harder? And I know this isn't your first fight. I think it's your third during the pandemic. Is it harder with all these restrictions to just get through the day to get to fight day?
This is my fifth fight during the pandemic. I got here Monday. And what was your question? Is it hard to get through all the restrictions?
Well, I'm sure that'll be wrong, too. But, no, I'm saying with the restrictions and you're not really allowed to go out and you're not really allowed to go do anything, is it harder to pass the time to get to Saturday?
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of sitting around, a lot of watching TV. We're stuck in our hotel. Can go train once a day. And besides that, it's a lot of sitting around. Fight week is waiting. It's really all it is.
You know, I would always say to all the athletes, you know, when they come on, it's a work trip. It's not vacation. You don't go walk the strip. You don't, you know, go to a show, even though a lot of guys do or a lot of athletes do. But it's one thing for you not to want to go do it, and it's another being told you can't go do it.
I suppose. I mean, I wouldn't do that stuff either way. To me, it is a work trip. I don't care. You can lock me in this room and, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'd like to walk for 5 minutes to a gas station just to, like, walk and stretch my legs and grab, like, a soda water, but it's really not a big deal.
So other than watch movies, what are you going to do tomorrow? I'm sure the media stuff is kind of cut back a little bit as well. So what will you do other than watch TV?
We did all the media stuff today. I'm almost done all of that, I think. Tomorrow, we'll train once. Besides that, yeah, we'll watch some TV and play some video games and sit around and wait.
Hey, Tanner, so look, it seems like every other fight card, we have Angela Hill and OSP, who you're fighting on Saturday night. But this is your fifth fight during the pandemic, and you asked for a quick turnaround time for the UFC. Like, how many fights in a year do you think is realistic for you? Like, how many can you get in if you're healthy and able to go?
Well, this year, this is just my second fight. So, I mean, maybe I'll get two more this year if all goes well. But it all depends on how each fight goes individually, how many is realistic. I suppose if you were super active and you didn't get any serious injuries, five would be a lot, but that's doable. On a low number, I mean, I'm going to get at least three, hopefully four, though.
Wow, crazy.
No, that's incredible.
Yeah, you know, for sure. Hey, I'm curious. Panini just took over the trading cards of the UFC. Do you collect trading cards? Have you seen your trading card? Give me your thoughts if you have.
Yeah, I have seen it. I collected trading cards when I was a kid. I haven't really collected anything like that in quite a while, but I did get some of the cards of myself from Panini because I thought that was pretty cool.
Okay. I was going to say that I have a contact. If you haven't gotten them yet, I can either get you whatever you want, even if it's yours, or I'm able to get you a box or two, you know, of the brand new Panini cards if you'd like.
How? Like, they're like $1,000 for a box, aren't they?
Well, I don't know what they are, but I'll just email Tracy Hackler, who is head of PR, and I'll get you a box or two. Consider it done.
Man, that would be fantastic.
That'll kind of make up for me saying three fights when it's five.
All right.
Kind of. Forgive it. It kind of makes up.
What were you saying, Tanner?
Nothing. I didn't say anything.
Okay. Do you collect anything else? Like, do you collect either your fight gear? Or, you know, do you exchange kind of like the NFL does, where they change jerseys after fights? Is that something, or anything in general? What, as a hobby, do you collect?
Yeah, we definitely don't exchange stuff like other sports may with their opponents. That would be strange. I wouldn't want to wear anything any of my opponents wore. Like, most of the guys I've fought, all of the guys I fought pretty much in UFC seem like really good guys, and I like them, man, but fuck them.
Like, yeah, he said duck.
They're my competition, man.
Just for FCC-wise, he said duck, D-U-C-K.
Yeah, it's the radio. Yeah, sorry, I meant, duck them is what I said.
Right.
Exactly. It's because, like, goose is, like, a positive expression. Like, in Canadian, if you say, like, yeah, goose is good, so duck him, that's, like, a bad thing. You know what I mean? It's not that's a word. It's just Canadian word.
Well, and just to clarify the exchanging of the jerseys when the NFL does it, they don't wear them. They just frame them and put them, you know, in their caves or whatever. So maybe don't exchange with who you're fighting because you're ducking them. Duck them. Duck them.
Duck them, yeah.
But you could trade it with somebody else, so then it's not the guy that you fought. That might work.
I suppose. I usually keep my stuff and give it to whatever, friends or family or maybe my gym. If it's a fight that goes particularly well, I'll get it framed with, like, some pictures or the gloves or whatever, and I gave one to, like, each of my parents. In terms of things I collect, I guess I collect the hats. I like to have one of each kind of hat. So the Reebok ones and now the Venom ones, sometimes they're different from fight to fight. I also have a pair of gloves from every league I've fought in, but I don't keep, like, every pair. I don't think there's any one particular thing that I collect anymore, but I do like to collect things, just this and that.
I got you. It's kind of like Matt when you emailed me about that Evel Knievel head.
Yeah.
which I wanted, but I have so much stuff.
Well, you needed it because you have a photo of your son being held by Evel Knievel.
Yeah, well, we won't talk about that publicly.
Okay. All right. Well, allegedly your son.
No, it wasn't. It was at a TV show that I used to be involved with, and it's Evel Knievel, and my son's like four, and it just looked kind of creepy. That's all. when you're in the middle of a fight, are you thinking? What are you thinking? Or is it just, you know, it happens? You know, you're not thinking; it's just flowing, and that's what's going on.
Yeah, it's a weird balance of both. You can't let yourself get into like a mindless state where you're just reacting because that's what your opponent wants. So you do have to be consciously thinking and problem solving while you're in there. But at the same time, you have to react and your body has to do things naturally on its own. It has to be appropriately conditioned to react, but you can't go into a fully reactionary state.
Have you ever like drifted in the middle of a fight? You know, I always ask the question, and I might have done it last time you were on when you were in Abu Dhabi. You know, the funniest, craziest, strangest thing. And I remember a fighter once told me he was fighting Dennis Seaver. They were talking in German. So for about 8 seconds in the middle of a fist fight, he's watching in the back of his mind. What's the movie, Matt?
Inglourious Bastards.
Inglourious Bastards. Have you ever drifted? Has anything like that ever happened in the middle of a fight with you?
I've had times where you start thinking about something, like even if it's about the fight, but you're not fully in the moment, you kind of shake it and you're like, nope. And you have to just focus back in, tunnel vision. But yeah, you got to train yourself to not wander.
Can you describe how much fun you have in the middle of a fist fight?
The most fun part is winning, man. In the fight, there are times where if it's going your way, or even if you get into, it's rare, I'd say. There was one fight I had that was a particular war, and somewhere in the third round, or near the end of the second or something, I do remember it going through my head where I was like, oh yeah, I love this. But I don't think that it's common. You're so focused on trying to get your job done and get through this on top that you don't really, I don't anyways, personally, I'm not sitting there having fun. It's a job and I have to do it.
Interesting take. Finally, your thoughts on OSP and what can the fans expect to see on Saturday?
OSP is a veteran. I'm a veteran as well, but he has more fights than I do, and he's got a lot more fights in UFC than I do. He's all around very skilled. He's got great striking. He's got knockout power. He's got wicked submissions. He's got a particular choke that he has an affinity for. He's a dangerous guy, but I'm a dangerous guy too. And I think the fans can expect a good fight. I think that we're going to be hitting each other for a lot of this, and I think both of us are going to leave the cage hurting, but hopefully he's more hurting than me. I'm going in there to throw bombs.
So Tanner, I know back in the early part of June you went on Twitter and said this is your last fight. You know, is this your last fight for the UFC? And if so, with Anderson Silva coming off of his boxing victory, do you see yourself fighting in other disciplines after your UFC career is over?
Well, this isn't, hopefully, my last fight for UFC. I have a new four-fight contract, actually. I didn't expect to renew my contract before this fight, but they did, which is great. But you can always be cut after you lose. So if I'm not in the UFC after this, it's because I lost. And that the most important thing is the fight immediately in front of me. It's the job I have to do. I'm capable of beating Ovin St. Preux, and Ovin St. Preux is capable of beating me. Who's going to do better on Saturday? I'm thinking it's me, and I'm hoping it's me. But that's what it is. As for boxing after, I hopefully don't have to worry about a change of career in the immediate future. Yes, I'm capable of boxing, but I mean, you mentioned Anderson Silva. These guys that are getting all these big fights, they're legends of the sport that people want to fight because
They're older now, and also they're big draws still. I'm just a dumbass who's 3-3. So,
well, you could be a co-host of this radio show when you're done.
Co-host, he could be the host. He could take over for both of us.
All right.
Tanner, thank you very much for your time. I'll message you to get your address to get you all the information from Panini so we can get you some stuff sent out.
Man, that's so cool. Thank you so much for that. Like, I'm seriously excited about that.
Consider it done. I will take care of it. You take care of your job on Saturday, and I'll take care of my job next week for you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate this.
All right. Take care. That is Tanner Boser.
Back in. Go Ducks.
Go Ducks. That's our new saying. That's what we're going to go with from now on.
Go Ducks!
All right, let's go hit this break real quick. We're way over, and then we'll come back and shut down Duck number one. So this is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is MC Hammer, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris, putting it down.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Jabra Elite 85T True Wireless Earbuds have been engineered with the most cutting-edge noise cancellation technology on the market to give you complete control over how you hear the world around you. It's time to level up the way you block out the world. Go to Jabra.com for more details on these and other great Jabra products and pick up a pair today.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Vinny LeCavalier, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
And this is Knockout Radio.
How's the internet up there?
This is Knockout Radio coming back to you live.
Yeah. How's the internet up there in Michigan?
I think it's pretty good. I feel like it's pretty solid.
Okay. No, I was just asking, you know, not sure that I've been wherever you said you are. I've been to Detroit.
Yeah. I'm not near that. We're out literally in the middle of nothing. It's quite amazing. But I get to teach my kids how to fish and camp and all kinds of fun stuff.
How do you teach somebody how to camp, to set up a tent and be bored for 24 hours? How do you teach them that?
Well, I mean, it's all on the skill, you know. It's just like the, I don't know. They just lay in the ground and do nothing. I've seen some MMA fighters do the same thing inside the octagon. Just lay it down.
Yeah. And I just took a guess on three. You know, I really didn't look it up because I didn't know I was going to say anything like that or ask anything.
When we talked to him last, wasn't he doing some kind of barbecue sauce or something? I thought he was doing something with like food, but I couldn't remember our interview from way back in the day.
Thank God you didn't ask it, because it would have been wrong.
Oh, probably, but yeah. You got to be wrong today, not me.
Yeah, well, whatever. But I got a panini. I'm getting him a box of panini.
Oh, yeah, he's going to love you forever for that one.
Well, I don't want it forever, just for today.
Okay. No, so it's been good.
How many stops do you have left?
It's open-ended, so we don't have any. We just have to be back at our home by August 27th. So we don't have an itinerary. We're just kind of floating. So right now we'll leave here on Friday, and then we'll head over to like Niagara Falls and then we'll head over to Maine and then come down Boston and New York and all the East Coast, D.C. Probably stop in Philly and maybe go see where you were born, the birthplace of Randy Harris.
Yeah, go drive through Kensington. Go do that. So roll your windows up.
Well, I got my daughters with me. I'm not afraid of anything.
Nah, heroin addicts are different. That's a different animal.
Have you seen my six-year-olds? Actually, happy birthday tomorrow to my baby girl, Marissa. And then I just turned 45 this week, so I celebrated my birthday here in Michigan as well. So all the festivities at the lake house is pretty nice.
Well, good. That still doesn't say that any of you will get out of Kensington alive.
Listen, I was a pizza guy. I can survive a heroin capital of the world.
I told you, we drove through just to go look at Rocky's apartment and got chased. And we were in an armed vehicle.
Well, look at Charles earlier. He was just driving and got shot at. It's like Boston's tough too.
Boston's tough. I'll tell you what, Boston is a tough city. I was going to ask him, you know, does he dislike New York as much as, you know, Wahlberg and all of them, you know, the arch rivalry, how much it bothered, and I wouldn't ask him this per se because he wouldn't know, but how much it bothered, you know, the old-time Red Sox fans when Wade Boggs went to the Yankees, you know, when all those other, you know, there was a handful of pretty well-known, and of course, Babe Ruth being the one that started all this, you know, goes to the arch rival.
Yeah, Johnny Damon. Johnny Damon did the same thing.
And both of them came here to Tampa.
Yeah.
Well, they really didn't. They both came to St. Pete.
Well, that's true. Right. Tampa doesn't have a baseball team.
Tampa does not have a baseball team.
Not yet.
I don't think they ever will.
What are they going to do with the stadium? What's the newest in the St. Pete stadium?
I think it's going to be the same thing. They're going to stay there in St. Pete. They're going to, you know, wait it out. And I think eventually when they leave, they're leaving the Bay Area. They're not just leaving Pinellas County.
Oh, really? You think they'll go north of the border?
You know, I don't know. You know, it's been long enough removed. You know, a lot of times I don't personally like when a team, you know, leaves, you know, and then another team goes back, kind of like the Baltimore situation, which was different, I know. But there have been cities that had and then lost and then got it back. But Montreal's, they've been gone for so long that, again, it's a different world now.
Well, Expos is a historic team, though. I mean, it's a legendary brand. Do you think Montreal would support it, though?
Well, again, who knows? I mean, Montreal would know more than, you know, two ham and eggers on the radio. You know, whoever the ownership is going to be, you know, would know if they would be able to support it. But I still think that there's, you know, other cities out there, you know, that you think would be able to support it. I still think that Vegas could support a Major League Baseball team. They've shown what they've done, you know, for their hockey team. We don't know what they'll do, but I think they'll do very well, you know, with the NFL. Vegas is that city that people will want to go see their team play in Las Vegas. So whether it's baseball or football, less games, so obviously it's going to be easier. But whoever your favorite team is, wouldn't you want to go see them play in Vegas?
Only if Pete Rose is the manager of the Vegas team.
Well, Pete Rose is busy signing autographs in the memorabilia stores in the malls.
That's true. But like, if he's going to be in trouble for betting, might as well be the head coach of the team in the city where it's legal gambling.
But wouldn't he make more money just to bet than to be a manager?
Yeah, but you got to put Charlie Hustle back on the roster, man. You got to put him in uniform, on the field.
But you won't. You won't, and you can't, and you know. I mean, we can talk about this until we're blue in the face.
but with the Canadian teams, do they have to abide by the U.S. regulations? Like, couldn't Pete Rose go to, like, Montreal, in baseball in Montreal?
Okay, first of all, the U.S. has nothing to do with Major League Baseball. It's Major League Baseball rules. It's not necessarily the United States said you can't gamble. Major League Baseball said you can't gamble. So, yes, if you have a team in Montreal, if you have a team in Mexico City, if you have a team in London that is under the Major League Baseball banner, then they're going to have to abide by the Major League Baseball rules.
Well, fine. But why do they call it World Champs when they don't play all the other countries?
I can't disagree with that.
it just doesn't make sense. But if they do go to Montreal, I petition that the GSP is somehow associated with the team.
Well, he'll be the base stealing coach.
Oh, he's got fancy footwork after that Bisping fight.
when you slide into second and you're tagged out, you put him in a knee bar. the ball falls, and then they got to call you safe because he didn't, keep control of the ball.
Well, there's nobody better for that than GSP.
I'm sure there are better. I mean, he wasn't really a jiu-jitsu guy. He was more just a wrestling guy. He was just a guy that's going to lay on top of you and bore you to death.
Just like camping.
Exactly. That's why you need to take him camping with you, and then you'll be fine. Of course, he did almost take Dan Hardy's shoulder and someone in the front row. All right, 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. Who knows what shenanigans is going to happen in hour number two. But just dock it. We'll be right back.
I took her home to my place, watching every move on her face. She said, look, what's your game?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Franco Harris with Randy Harris on Knockout Radio.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Eight Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Eight Man Strong.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3.
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.